Greetings and welcome back to the Conscious Observer podcast with your brother and your host, Aleem Kente. Testing out my voice from a long hiatus. Good to be with you again. And good to have some new talking material to show to you and to, you know, things that we all have come across in these last, few months, in this sixth month of 2023. It's been a very eventful year, especially in calamity. There's a shooting nearly every day. There's a mass shooting nearly every day. My voice could cut out at any second. I'm on my way to work, and I'm using the GPS system, so the GPS may cut my voice off at any second. But there's a mass shooting every day. Just yesterday, there was a graduation in Virginia where two people got killed at a graduation. I didn't look that far into it to see who the perpetrators were, if they were white or black. But it doesn't matter. My bet is on the idea that they were Caucasian. But it doesn't matter, because nowadays, as black people, we have become so deranged and we have become so detached from a sense of normalcy for our own selves that we have degenerated into exhibiting a lot of the same behaviors as our oppressors. A lot of black people are just carbonated white supremacists. Just melanated white supremacists. And that is a problem. That's a problem. Jonathan Majors is facing, you know, that thing from the Caucasian. You know, some people are saying, it's a conspiracy from, you know, Hollywood. Hollywood pulled the trigger on him. I wouldn't doubt that, but my mind is not inclining towards that. My mind is telling me that it was just that white woman's flare up. You know, when you're a black man around white women will flare up at you. It's a natural thing. Because everything that it means to be black is diametrically opposed to what it means to be white. Not from an aggressive standpoint, but it's the garlic to the vampire. You know, the garlic don't mean to burn the vampire. The garlic ain't trying to go out and burn the vampire. But the vampire has an allergic and violent reaction to the garlic. And that is what happened here. Here, Jonathan Majors was just being, you know, a clove of garlic. You know? And he was, and on his arm is a vampire. And so every so often she has a flare up, like an allergic reaction. She has something that she can't really control. Got 7 miles to go. So that's what I think it was. I think it's just a natural reaction. I've, you know, been observing, black people, my own experiences, as well as experiences of other people, and that's just a natural reaction when it comes to being in close proximity to white women. That's just that. Now, so, you know, of course, I'm on Jonathan Majors' side, of course. But, you know, people are saying, well, he can't play Kang anymore. Like I said before in my last podcast, the entire premise of making a black man the villain is to see the black man be defeated. And now Jonathan Majors is, you know, in a legal battle in real life. You know, he's in a legal battle in real life. So this is much bigger than a movie. This is much bigger than, you know, the next MCU film. This is about a man's life. Speaking of film, last night I took my girlfriend and her two daughters to go see The Little Mermaid. Now, going into this, already off the bat, I understand that we're dealing with the controlled opposition, the controlled mechanisms, I guess you could say, of white supremacy. White supremacy dominates and controls black life. They have it today where the average black person is stupid. I mean, the average black person is dumb. And the average black woman is so enamored and so in love with white society that she views walking in the footsteps of white women as progress. I mean, and it makes sense, I suppose, because she sees white society as the progressive society, as the dominated society. She does not really want to see white people as her enemy. She wants to see white people as her example. So when they see a black woman stepping into the shoes of a white woman, or a white animated cartoon, and she's doing and singing all the things that a white person sang, that makes the black woman's heart smile. That makes the black woman very happy. And it makes me upset, because I can see the technology. I mean, this whole movie was just a big shit show. It was just a big insult to the black man. And more than an insult, it really is a threat. You know, you can watch movies with white people where in the entire movie you don't see one black person at all. And then nowadays they have it where you see a movie with white people and the only person they have in their company is a black woman. The black man is nowhere to be found. So obviously the woman's man becomes the white man by default. The black woman's loyalties go to the white man, because of the lack of there not being no black man. And of course, the films don't provide any context story wise as for why there's no black men. That is supposed to be something that is never even thought of. The black woman's involvement in the story is supposed to be looked at as some sort of, you know, this is just us showing that we are, you know, caring about black women being represented in movies. That's a lie. They're not trying to care about black representation. If they cared about black representation, then they would care about the collective representation of black people, because black women are not black by their own virtue. Black women are black by the virtue of coming from a family and a collective of people that contributed to her sense of self. So to just isolate black women is not you taking into account the entire spectrum or the entire scope of black life. It's just you appealing to the ego and the narcissism of the black woman and spoiling her and making her feel special so that she can be a traitor and a backstabber to her people. That's all it is. That's literally all it is. Nobody can supply a better answer than that. Nobody can supply a better answer than that. There is no better answer than that. Anything underneath, anything that is said in juxtaposition to that, what I just said, is a lie. And it's not because I'm just trying to, you know, have the monopoly on the discussion. If there was a debate, anybody that says anything less than that is just straight up lying. White people are utilizing their influence and their power of suggestion to turn the black woman away from her man. And when you look at a movie and see no black men, the implications of that in real life and the comfortability of there not having to be, there doesn't have to be a black man. Who says there has to be a black man in the movie? The implications of the absence of black men in movies implies genocide. It looks very innocent. You watch this movie, you watch Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear's love interest is what? A black woman. But the black woman is like a lesbian or something. Just weird stuff going on all the time. But there's no black man in outer space. And outer space represents the future. So it's black people. So outer space represents the future. The future. When you see Star Trek and you watch Captain Kirk, the only black person in space is a black woman. And they want you to think that black woman had us all thinking for the longest time that her being on the Star Trek Enterprise was just, you know, oh, this is progress for the black race. I'm not the whore of white men. See, that's really the space that black women occupy when they deal with white men. They're just a whore. They're an accessory. They're a black accessory. They're not real. They're not taken for real. They're not taken for all their value, because all of their value is tied to who they are, and all of who they are is tied to their race. So you let yourself be taken away from your race in service of a white person, and then now you're not yourself anymore. And now the thing that, you know, they saw in you that made you different, you don't even have it no more, so they don't want you anymore. You are different because your people made you unique. Your experiences with your family, your brothers, your sisters, your grandma, your auntie, your this, your uncle. These experiences made you into a unique specimen. And you let that all go in order to gain access to white territory, to gain access into private white spaces, to live out Disney fantasies. from your childhood. I saw a clip on YouTube of Star Trek back in the 60s where apparently, excuse me, the Enterprise went back in time and picked up Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln comes aboard the Enterprise and sees Uhura, and trust me, the name Uhura, it goes exactly into what I'm saying. The black woman's space in white society is the white man's concubine, as his conquested woman. And the white woman knows that. The white woman is the white man's woman. Not because he loves her, but because of the practicality of their relationship. They're the same thing. They think the same way. But the black woman is the white man's concubine. So she's his whore. So that is the reason why they named this black woman a whore. And there was no real outcry. So she's walking around the Star Trek Enterprise, around William Shatner, wearing a short skirt and you know, wearing her hair like, you know, that little beehive thing they used to wear back in the day. And her name's Uhura. And Abraham Lincoln comes on board and sees her. And he says, oh, you're a charming negress. And she looks at him and she doesn't say anything. She just smiles, as it was written for her to do. And then she says, how do you do, or something like that. I forget what she says. She just doesn't care that he called her a negress. And then Kirk, Captain Kirk, he speaks on her behalf. He says, hey, look, Abraham Lincoln, in the future, we don't care about names anymore. What is that saying? It's saying that even as far back in this as the 60s and before that even, white people were trying to get black people comfortable with their designations, and also white people were trying to make it so that black people have no type of negative reaction to being a slave. You're supposed to just be a good slave. That's it. You're just supposed to be a good slave. You ain't supposed to be, you know, acting all aggressive. What you call me? Did you just call me a negress? Nah. Captain Kirk says, in the future, we don't care about names. Which is to say that in the future, we have become so docile as black people by the inundation and indoctrination of white people, that to the point where we've just accepted anything that white people call us. And Abraham Lincoln said, oh, I was going to apologize to you for calling you a negress, but then I realized there's no need for me to apologize. This is a real episode. I'm gonna put it on my YouTube channel. I'm gonna chop it up and put it into a comprehensive breakdown of white supremacy in our media. I'm gonna show these things in sequence, one thing to the other, so that you can see the pattern. So I can stop trying to string, because sometimes a Negro will think that you stringing things together that are far-fetched. I'm gonna make a string of pearls of nothing but clips of white people disrespecting and insulting black people. I'm gonna just do a one after the other, because this is the media that you've come to accept as normal, and this is the media that you've come to accept as comfortable media. This is the stuff that you say makes you American, to be insulted and to be displayed as an idiot and some type of stupid person is what you say. Hey man, that's just American television. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I watched this Little Mermaid. This was the worst movie I ever saw in my life, for so many reasons. The acting was terrible. You know, I was talking to it with my girlfriend. She said, and she made the point, And I have to agree with her that she said, yeah, I think Disney sabotaged the movie on purpose. I think that there was some sabotage on purpose. Disney may have sabotaged the movie in a way. And I said, I agree. I agree, because that is a real thing where a company, even they know they're going to make the money from it because they understand the appetites of the modern day Negro. The modern day slave is going to fund that movie. The white liberals, the white racists who want to pretend that they are pro-black will also support the movie because they know that inside of the movie, it's not really pro-black. It's going to be pro-agenda, pro-interracial, pro-destroy the black family. So there was no black, no complete black family in this movie. Everything was chopped up. The white boy that she's dating or has a seeing as a love interest, he has a black mother, and the black mother is the queen. Whereas in the cartoon, I think it's his father, and of course his father is white. But they make the mother of him a black woman, a dark black woman, which of course, like my girlfriend said, was a huge reach. Just a huge reach. A huge reach. What was it? The black woman, his mother is black, and they live on an island that is supposed to be Jamaican. You got the crab, voiced terribly by some actor who has the worst Jamaican accent I ever heard in my life. The most fake and generic and cartoony Jamaican accent I've ever heard in my entire life. So you have the implication that they're in Jamaica. But on this Jamaican island, there's nothing but, there's really more white people on the Jamaican island than black people. It's very weird. When they go into town, right? Because she's going into town, she's testing out what it means to be human. She's listening to the music because this is supposed to be the scene where she's becoming, adapting to the beauty of humanity, right? Through music and culture and art and things like that. This is that scene. And in reality, this scene would take place by just being strictly black people, if it was indeed in Jamaica. But what they've done is they've made a fictitious place. And because it's fictitious, they've taken creative license to just say, oh, it's just a multiracial society. There's no, you know, one race that lives here. It's just a bunch of different races, and it's mostly white. So when she goes into town and you hear all this Jamaican music, you look at the people playing the music, and they make it very quick. They have to make this scene very fast because they have to sell the illusion of multiculturalism existing in a historical context, even though they know that multiculturalism to that degree never existed historically because of the conflict of different cultures. But they got to spin the lie, so they shoot the scene real fast, like it's just zooming through. You know, the people playing the instruments are all light-skinned and white, and there's a few black people peppered ever so lightly in this arrangement. And they want you to think, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're not totally appropriating black culture. We're not totally misrepresenting black culture. There's some black people there. But whenever you see somebody playing an instrument or somebody singing a song, it's always a white person. And then there was a scene where it was a young black man who, you know, saw her in the market and wanted to offer her something. You know, everybody's offering her something because that's just how the scene is. She's walking through the market. Everybody's, you know, so excited to see her, and they're offering her things. There was one scene, the black male. Okay, so I got cut off from that. So there was a scene where she's walking and, you know, people are offering her stuff, and the there's a black dude in the audience, because you're one, and I was saying this to myself, I wonder, because Eric had lost her. The white boy lost her, and she, you know, she goes to the market by herself. I said, oh, she run into a black man, a nice, handsome, strapping young black man in this market. Is gonna be over for you, white boy. And she goes to the market and she does meet a black dude, but she rejects what he offers her. She just walks away from him and then goes to a white woman. And again, the contrast is a dark-skinned black dude. They're on a Jamaican island. It goes from dark-skinned black man to pale white woman wearing a hat. And she takes from the white woman. These are all not, it's not even subtle anymore. It's not subtle. Like I said before, a long time ago, I said this. These things, they used to be subtle, but now you don't have to be no whiz or no really, you know, keen observer in order to see these things. These things are so, they're obvious. They're obvious. The racism is obvious. You couldn't let a black woman have a movie where you show the beauty of black, but you want to represent, you say, we're doing this for black women, to empower black women. Why is the empowerment of black women always something that excludes black men? Why do white people believe that they know what's best for black people? Why does, you know, the movie, you see the movie, the black woman is in the movie. Her father is Javier Bardem, who is like a Spanish man. He's Spanish. All her sisters are different races. There's a dark-skinned black woman. She doesn't talk in the movie. There's a white, two white sisters, a Chinese sister, and like maybe like a Mexican sister. Basically showing that, you know, we believe in the spectrum of colors and multiculturalism, and we don't want to just have a black movie. But you say that you're doing this for black people. If you're doing this for black people, why are you diluting and separating this black woman from black people? She's the only black person. She's one of two black people in her family, allegedly. And the other black woman that's in her family, one of her sisters, is so dark skinned. You know that she comes from a different lineage of darkness, or a different lineage of black people. She'd be like an African black person. So she has really no commonality with her. You never see them exchanging scenes. You never see the two black sisters talking in the movie. They can't do that because they don't want to show any unity amongst black people. They wanted to make it seem like everything in today's society doesn't have to be about race. The two black women don't have to share a bond or commonality, because that would suggest that they are together based off the fact that they're black. And to do that is primitive. To have discussions with black people based just because, just being black doesn't mean that you have to be around other black people. That's the argument that white people are trying to make. That is the programming that they're trying to send to the children today. And the programming is not even slick how it used to be. It used to be slick, where we had to really, like, you know, have some people, you know, sorting this thing out. Like, man, look, we got to dissect this movie like 10 different ways so that we can tell and teach the people the little secrets to watch out for. This stuff ain't, it's like the social engineers who are in charge of, you know, manipulating the people's interests. They're like becoming idiots. You know, they're not even making it slick anymore. So they live, so there's a Jamaican island, there's a black queen with no black king, of course. There's no black queen. They, why is the queen black? Because the movie is about black women. The movie is about black women. And white people do not want to raise the issue of there being a black king, because the black king is the opposition, the opposer to white supremacy. So the white man puts all of his love and all of his attention and all of his focus, not love is in quotations, love is, the white man's love is not real. You know, he hardly has love for himself, much less love that is capable of sustaining black people or a black woman for that matter. White men cannot sustain black women. They don't know how to. They're not built to fulfill that role for a black woman. That's why a lot of times when these black women get into relationships with white guys, and they know that the only way that they can really be in this relationship is through, you know, the only thing keeping them in the relationship is the fact that they're being taken care of, that they, you know, can now think to themselves, oh, I've made it. I've made it. I've achieved. I've risen above. I've rose above. That's the only thing they can get out of it. They can't get the physical experience. They can't get the spiritual experience out of it. They really have not. So then they end up cheating on the white guy. And then they cheat on him because they feel like, well, because he's white, he's also stupid, because black women can read the emotional and psychological intelligence of men. And they know that if the white man is with her, that there's a sort of, you know, type of exoticness that she has in his life, and that she can use that if she wants. If she sees that he's weak, she can then flip that and then make that into like her, him being just like her credit card. And she can just go and still like have sex and do whatever she wants to do with anybody else. It's an unfulfilled life. But that's what they want to sell to these black women. The chemistry between Hailee Bailey. And let me say something else about Hailee Bailey and her sister, Chloe. Hailee Bailey, there was once a time, this is to show you the quote unquote love of white people to black women. Hailee Bailey's sister, Chloe Bailey, is a singer and a performer who recently is going through a metamorphosis of hyperfeminism and sexuality, where every performance she does is ass and vagina. Ass, vagina, breast. That's her whole shtick. Like she wants to make it seem like she's doing something different, but her whole shtick is ass, vagina, breast. That's her whole thing, right? There used to be a that she is the twin. Like if they're not twins, then they're like, I don't know. They're like, they're close. That's the thing. They're very close sisters. They look very similar to each other. Chloe Bailey, Hailee Bailey, playing the Little Mermaid. To show you the level of disrespect that white people have for black women. There used to be a time that if your family were, you know, inappropriate, by association, your image was also tarnished as well. It used to be a time where, like, if you were like a whore, like if you were a whore and your brother was like, a murderer or something. Nah, that's too much. Like, if you were a whore and your brother was, like, a playboy or, like, something like that, their closeness, proximity to you would ruin your chances of getting roped, because essentially you all are, like, the same person, and they don't like, they don't want the optics to come back into the people's minds that, you know, you're sister had any involvement to do with the company, even though it's you that's a part of the company. This used to be a thing, but to show you the level, the disregard they have for black women, they're willing to have a woman portray the Little Mermaid and have her sister portray herself as a whore and a prostitute on stage, and then they come back and they say, this is all about the empowerment of black women. That never existed before. It never existed where it would be a point if, because of how big the Little Mermaid is, it would have been a point at some point for them to say, hey, Chloe, you can't go on stage like that because we have your sister in this movie. You can't be on stage like this. You have to clean up your image for the sake of your sister's involvement with our movie. But because of how low down, see, the only reason why this movie could even be made is because the climate of black women is low. Why would a Little Mermaid who is black have red hair? The red hair is the signature of the white mermaid, right? But the red hair is also a testament to the time that we live in, where the black woman is dyeing her hair red as a sign of her volatile aggression against tradition and her embracing white supremacy more and more, her embracing her feminism, her embracing her role in white supremacy, and her showcasing her, the color red is the, you know, the color scarlet. It's showcasing her shame. The red hair showcases the eccentricity, the need for a second identity, the need for, you know, attention seeking. That's what the red hair represents in society today. That's why black women across the board are dyeing their hair red. It is a show of the depravity and the degradation of our culture. It's not a sign of, you know, progression and love and it's us, you know, getting higher into ourselves. It's none of that. So the only reason why they can make the Little Mermaid black and then also make her hair red is because they know that we're living in a time where the black woman is wearing her hair red to showcase that she's really, like, mentally ill. That's the reason why they can make this movie. So that's also the reason why they, not only do they not care about Chloe Bailey being a performer who dances and dresses provocatively, but they actually want that to be the case. They want the norm of black women to be whores. That's the whole thing. The norm is going to be whore. The norm for you is not to be dignified. It's to be whore. Be whore. Be a whore. Be a hoe. As they said on in Living Color, be a hoe. No, it was Eddie Murphy who said that on SNL. Be a hoe. That's the whole point. You know, the movie was so bad. Everything about the movie was just bad. There was nothing good about. The songs had no impact at all. The dialogue and the scenes had no impact at all either. Gabrielle Union played Scuttle. There was a scene at the beginning of the movie where a scuttle is basically a seabird that can dive into water to catch fish. And she dives into the water and then just starts having a full-blown conversation with them underwater, not taking into account like the logic behind it. Like if she's a air-breathing animal, how is it that she can talk underwater? If she's an air-breathing bird, how is it that she can go underwater where she was holding her breath to catch the fish, and then now she's having a full-blown conversation underwater to talk to Ariel and Flounder, when in the animated series, in the animated movie, Ariel and Flounder go up to the surface on a rock to talk to Scuttle? And of course, Scuttle is voiced by a man, but they gotta revamp all the traditional roles into black women because they're trying to do a black woman thing. And Gabrielle Union, who is a beautiful sister, and she is our sister still, you know, she's right now involved in destroying the life of a little black boy and turning a little black boy into a girl. So that's obviously why she was casted. And plus, they know that Hollywood knows that Gabrielle Union's career as an actress is over. So Gabrielle Union, you know, is doing really for the sake of maintaining status in Hollywood, is destroying that little boy's life and helping him to become a woman. And like Dr. Umar Johnson said, in 30 years, that boy will wake up and look himself in the mirror and try to make a decision to reverse the damage that had been done to him as a child. And he will be unable to reverse the decision because his sexual organs have been mutilated and his chemistry, biological chemistry, had been altered to such a degree where it would be impossible for him to return to his state as a authentic man. He'll never be an authentic woman, but he'll never be an authentic man. It's living in limbo when you become a victim of this agenda. It's living in hell. It's living in limbo. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. And Gabrielle Union is being very hands-on in that process of normalizing the mindset, because she's, you know, one of these black hoes from Hollywood. Sorry to talk about the sister like that, but she, you know, you could tell from a woman's vocal speaking patterns, like what type of mindset she has in her head. Gabrielle Union was one of these chicks in Hollywood who was sleeping with white men and, you know, a woman who really never cared about her blackness, just cared about her prestige, not prestige, because the sister never achieved prestige. She never achieved that. She always been a low-key actor. The only movie that white people can attribute to her that gave her, you know, attention from white people truly was the movie Bring It On with Kristen Dunst. She played the rival to Kristen Dunst, and that was what gave them, that's what gave her real, you know, I guess, Hollywood standing. But other than that, Gabrielle Union is non-existent in Hollywood. She's not even a B-list actor. She's like a D-list actor in Hollywood. So she had to do something, destroy a young man's life in order to. Greetings and welcome back to the Conscious Observer Podcast. Sorry about, you know, if my voice and the way I talk didn't sound so tight. I'm trying to get back into my flow, man. It's a thing about, you know, getting off of something for a while and then coming back to it. You gotta get your flow right. So that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm a quiet person for the most part. I used to be very, very rambunctious when I was coming up, but I guess this is like my way of like balancing that out. So like when you don't talk for a while, sometimes you gotta like You know, you gotta like get back into the groove of like talking and stuff like that. It's probably not something that a lot of people go through, but it's something that I go through. So I just appreciate y'all for listening and tuning in. And we're going to get back on this Little Mermaid movie. I mean, a lot of, you know, the sisters, they want to take her, their daughters. You know, black women's attitude towards it, I mean, it's understandable. If I was a black woman, I might be the same way. You know, there's a bit of a conundrum when it comes to being a woman, because by design, you're built to follow. It's a bit of a conundrum that a woman has to go through, because you're built to follow, but in the case of the black woman, very rarely do you have an example of a man that is worthy of you following them. Because just because you're built to follow does not mean that you are also built inferiorly, if that's a word. I feel like that could be a word. You're not built as an inferior creature. So your standards are high, and your intelligence is high, and you're equipped with reasoning and observation to the point where you can deduce things that are good for you and deduce things that are not. So it's a bit of a conundrum when you're built to follow and there really isn't anything for you to follow. There is one thing that you could follow, but there's a religious apprehension to following that particular thing. To kill the ambiguity, I'm talking about Islam. You know, that is definitely there for all of us to follow. But in our immediate personal lives, I understand the lack of, you know, real leadership. And therefore, you know, if I was a black woman, I think it's a possibility that I would not give a fuck about anything either, and just say, fuck it, I'm an American, and I just want to celebrate Christmas, and I just want my kids to have a good Christmas, and I'm going to take my daughters to see The Little Mermaid because my daughters need to see a black girl swim or whatever. I mean, I'm making fun of the ideology a little bit, because you still, sisters, don't be intelligent when it comes to destroying black men, but stupid when it comes to white supremacy. Don't be intelligent when it comes to agreeing with white people that black men ain't shit, but then stupid as fuck when it comes to understanding how you're being played. If the intelligence swings both ways, don't be one-dimensional. Don't be selectively intelligent. If you saw black men walking around with corduroys and, you know, button-up shirts tucked into their pants and, you know, pins in their pockets, on their chest pocket full of pins, you'd say that black man's acting like a white man. That's what you would say. That's what you would say. And you know what? Observationally, you'd be correct. But what are we to say when we look at you and you got blonde hair in your head? And if you don't got blonde hair in your head, your ideals, the things about you, that your concepts are just like a white woman. I mean, what are we to say? It would be something. You know why black men, a lot of black men don't like Eminem? That sounds crazy. I'm a brother who enjoys Eminem. But consciously, I can't put Eminem in my top 20 or top 30. I can't do that. Because he's, if you want to talk about lyricist, I'd be obliged, I'd be a fool not to say that Eminem is lyrically probably one of the best rappers who ever lived. he might be the best rapper with lyrical ability. I'm not going to come off of that. Eminem, a white dude, might be the best lyrical, he might have the best lyrical ability out of any rapper of any race. But that's not enough for me. I'm not one-dimensional. So I don't just look at lyrical ability, I look at relatability and substance. And Eminem don't got that. He don't got that. I can't relate to a man that hates his mother. But if black men took on that type of ideology where it just became normal, yeah, we hate our moms, you know, we want to kill our moms, you black woman would be the quick to say, oh, you niggas acting like white men. That's what you would say. So what am I to say? You talking like a white woman. You believe in abortion? Yeah, I believe in abortion. I believe a woman can do whatever she want with her body. I believe in this. I believe in that. Excuse me. I believe in this. I believe in that. And none of the things you believe in, could you sit down with your grandmother and have a conversation? Because your grandmother will either smack the shit out of you or tell you to leave her house. And your grandmother is the better woman. She's better than you. She's better than you. So you gotta become conscious enough to put yourself in a seat of accountability where you look at yourself and say, hey, we done took this feminism thing a little too far. You wanna see your daughters, you wanna take your daughters to go see a black girl swim with fish, but she's swimming alone. She has nobody in a whole ocean that looks like her. Her father's not black. Her sisters, all but one, are not black. And the sister that was black, she was mute. She didn't even talk in the whole movie. They made her a mute black woman. And that's something else that white supremacy does too. They'll put mute black women in movies. I was watching a movie the other day called Alita Battle Angel. You might have seen it, you might have not. It wasn't a movie that got a whole lot of praise. But in the movie, there was a black woman who was the co-scientist to the white guy, played by Christoph Waltz in the movie. And this woman literally did not talk for the first hour of the movie. She only said three words on the last end of the movie. Every time you saw her character just made facial gestures. She literally did not talk. And that was deliberate. You think there would be a movie where they would show a white woman on the screen and instead of her opening her mouth to speak for herself intelligently, she just made facial gestures? Do you think that would ever happen? No. No, it wouldn't. The woman king. You don't understand. The white man is trying to destroy gender between black people, black men and black women, because he understands that that's how you defeat us. That's how you destroy us. You destroy us on a molecular level or on a spiritual level or destroy us on a biological level. Destroy how we see ourselves in the world, and then you'll be able to destroy us altogether. You destroy a woman's femininity and call her a king, you are destroying the family. And for you as a black woman to be so egotistical, you such an egomaniac, you so ego driven, you have such an inflated ego, you so Beyonce minded, I got a big ego, that you would accept a term thinking that it's a term of endearment. Like, oh yeah, the white man, he calling me, you know, he's saying I'm the king. Yeah, but if you the king, then who's the queen? Well, I'm the queen too. Nah, sis. Nah. You the king and the queen? Nah, if you the king, right, by white people's proclamation, because you just going along with what white people say. The white people say, hey, it's the movie called The Woman King, niggas. And you say, oh, yeah, I like that. You don't once say, you know what, that don't sit well with me as a woman, because I ain't no damn king. I'm a queen. I'm a, you know, you could say I'm a goddess. I'm an empress. I don't want to be confused with no man. You didn't say that. Hold on 1 second. Hello?
We'll be with you in just 1 second.
Okay.
I'll be right with you, please.
Okay. Didn't say that. So what you did, so this, this wanting to, yes, can I have 2 double cheeseburgers, please, and a order of your chicken fries, please?
Dipping sauce for chicken fries?
No, that's not necessary.
Double cheeseburgers and an order of chicken fries. Can you
try
anything else?
No, man. That's all.
That's going to be 10:14 at the first window, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I stopped at Burger King. Hold on. I'm coming back to you. Hold on. Hi. Okay. How are you? Coming. I'm coming. That's a lot of dead air. It's a lot of dead air. But you know, there's life in it. I promise. There's life in the air. Just let it marinate. You sit with your thoughts for a second. Yeah, nah, the Little Mermaid is disgusting. The Little Mermaid was a disgusting movie. It was slimy. It was vile. It was putrid. And I ain't talking about Ursula. She was very underwhelming too. Her character was very stupid. Thank you. You too. Her character was awful. The movie was disgusting and putrid because of the message that it is sending to the black family, which is that the powers that be don't wish there to be a black family. I mean, we always knew that. But to make a movie about a wish for there not to be a black family, and then for black women to endorse the movie, that's really, 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 really bad. Yeah, I know the cracker don't want there to be black people. And you women have this misconceived notion that it's all about you. You wouldn't think that you had a brother. You wouldn't think you had a father. You wouldn't think that you had uncles. You wouldn't think that you had sons. You would think that it's really all about you, if from a person who's observing your ideology. It's like nothing ever meant anything to you. So nah, taking your daughter to see the Little Mermaid, that's wrong. You say, I did it. Yeah, I did it as an experiment. When we took our daughters to see the Little Mermaid, that was wrong. Thankfully, the movie was so bad that the little girl couldn't even sit and really enjoy it. It was so bad, she just was getting up, jumping around, sitting, jumping on the seats and stuff. Wasn't even paying attention to that nonsense. The movie was so stupid. So goddamn awful. And if it was good, I would say it was good. I'd be like, yeah, the movie was good. It was a lot of bullshit in it that I didn't like. Just like Black Panther 2. Black Panther 2, in my opinion, was better than Black Panther 1. It was very corny. It wasn't. Black Panther 1 had a lot less corny moments, but Black Panther 2 had a lot more action, and the action was great. Of course, Black Panther 2 also had a lot more agenda-driven messages, but I can say that movie is better than the first one. But what can we say about this? Not only is it not a good movie by cinematic standards, it's also not a good movie for black people to see by black standards. The prince must be white with a black mother. His mother's dark-skinned black woman. But he's pale white. It's disgusting. Stupid. And I'm mad that I watched it. It was terrible. 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 It's not helping black people. If you all watch the movie, that's how you know our standards have sunken into the damn ground, when you think that being pro-black, or you think that being an advocate for your people, is to go and watch a movie that don't got nothing to do with your people. Just as long as it has one black woman in it, that's fine by you. But you know what? This is all a part of what God wants. Because he wants to make it very clear that the black woman don't got no goddamn business being the leader of our race. You don't got no business being the leader of the black race. You should, when white people come up to you in a way that they wouldn't come up to anybody else. See, I had some Mormons that came to the house a few months back. Some little white cracker Mormons came to the house. They wanted to talk to my girlfriend. We were very polite to them. They were very arrogant, but in a very sweet way. They came in, made comments like, normally when we come to a house, we ask people to turn their music off, but we'll make an exception in your case because the music's good. And then the little white boy was trying to coerce my girlfriend into reading passages of his Mormon Bible. And then, you know, because he kept doing it, you come into somebody's house and then tell them to read from your book. He kept doing it, so I said, nah, don't have her read. You read it. It's your book, right? You read from your book. Don't have her read, because I understand you're younger than I am. They have these little Mormon boys called elders. You ain't no elder of mine. You only 21, 20 years old. You ain't no elder of mine. And even if you was older than me, you're not my elder. Your elder is that person that is the older member of your community. You hear black people talking about our forefathers. I beg your pardon? What? Our forefathers? George Washington is your forefather? You need to be smacked upside your head. You need to be smacked upside your head. George Washington ain't our forefather. Your forefathers were the black men who were building this country. That's your forefathers. There's a lot more honor in that. Don't let white people trick you into using their language. Calling your children kids. Yeah, I got 8 kids. Those are children. White people have kids. You have children. We gotta get back to our language, our way of expressing ourselves. Because when you don't have your own language and your own culture, you become confused and you wanna be a part of everybody's culture but your own. And that's why they felt like they could make a movie where the entire movie is about hodgepodge, melting pot culture, hodgepodge. You know, just random things, because they know white people know your psychology. They know that you prefer other cultures to your own. They know that. White people are very deceptive because they try to make what they know unapparent. White people know that you love them more than you love yourself. They know that. They know, they expect it from you. When a white person walk into a room full of black people, sometimes you think to yourself, oh wow, she's really bold, isn't she? She's really bold to come in here with all these black people, and she's moving around and talking to everybody in a way that you wouldn't feel comfortable doing if you were in a room full of white people. Why does she feel so comfortable? Because she knows that she's your master and you ain't gonna hurt your master. You ain't gonna hurt her. You ain't gonna do nothing to her. But that's not so much because she's your master. That's more so because that's how black people are. But on top of us being naturally good people, it's still the psychological effects of slavery that make it so that white people know when they go into a space with black people, they can command that space to be their own space, because black people worship white peoples as their master. So they know they can come around you confident. They can come around you confidently. Man, I had a white dude that came up to me and was so confident around me, just saying nigga, just confident. And I never corrected him. Don't say that word, because that's precisely what he was looking for. Don't say that word. What word? Nigga? Nigga, please. He wanted that kind of interaction. I'm not having that kind of... I'm not a nigga. You can say the word all you like. It's your word. You the damn nigga, cracker. You the cracker and the nigga. See, you ain't gonna be the king and the woman, black woman. But these white people, they can be the nigga and the cracker simultaneously. Because you are what you create. So, the Mormons come to the house. I told my girlfriend, I said, she said, the Mormons text me. They want to meet with me again. And I had just finished having a theological debate with these Mormons that they couldn't do anything with. They had nothing for me. It's not that I was trying to mess them up or stunt on them, but I had questions for them. They wanted us to join their church. I said, sir, with all due respect, I don't believe that your church is qualified to be the place of worship for black people. I said, what accommodations do you have for black people? Because we're not the same. You have to accommodate black people in your house. It's not the same. There's certain things that you have to address. There's things that can't be swept under the rug. There's aspects of Jesus's mission, Jesus's ministry, Jesus's life work that was directly involved with the resurrection of the mentally dead, or the resurrection of his people, the black people, that the church won't go near at all. You won't even talk about those types of aspects of Jesus's life. You'll regulate everything to you'll chalk it all up to just a feel, a nice white Jesus, a sweet Jesus. He, Jesus, so sweet. I just love Jesus. He's so sweet. But Jesus isn't sweet. So how can we come to your church and feel comfortable as black people? I said, nah, there's things that need to be addressed, not just in the white community. I said, sir, the fact that you could come and knock on my door and be let in, that don't have so much to do with the fact that you are Mormon as it has to do or the fact that she would let you in. And people, you notice that when you go into the community, people are very open to you and they're not turning you away. Let some black people knock on your door. You're going to turn them away. You don't want black people knocking on your door. But I said, sir, the very fact that you can knock on a person's door and they answer it and let you in, it don't got nothing to do with the fact that you are a follower of Jesus. It got everything to do with the fact that you're white. So then the white boys start saying, well, you know, Mormonism is a very big religion in African countries. We have a lot of African converts. I say, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because Africa is what is considered by white people or by the West as a third world country. I said, and I told the white man, I said, here we have one planet. This is one planet. And you then divided the planet into thirds. Some might even say fourths. And then based off of a person's proximity to wealth, or a person's proximity to material possession, or a person's proximity to their material skin, if it's white, then you'll say that person is either first, second, or third world. And you put Africa in the third part. Just like you said that black people was 3/5 of the human being. You put Africa in the third world and then put on them all kinds of stigmas and stigmatizations of them being primitive people, to the point where they are desperate to want to come and be a part of your world. That's what the whole goddamn movie is about. It's about black people being desperate to be a part of white supremacy based off of the lack of light, the lack of resources, the lack of education, the lack of humanity that happens when you are pushed to the third part. So I say, yeah, it makes perfect sense that you have a lot of African converts to Mormonism. Africans are so desperate to be a part of the white man's world that they'll take anything that you give to them. It don't got nothing to do with the fact that you follow Jesus better than they follow Jesus. It got everything to do with the fact that you a white person and they feel like attaching themselves to you will bring them success. And that's all. The white boys didn't have nothing to say about that. So they left out of there saying they really were glad to meet me. I said, yeah, I was glad to meet you too. I had a good conversation with you. But they left out of there wanting to get Yele back. Yeah, I wanna talk to you again. I don't wanna talk to your boyfriend. I told her, you tell them that they have to talk to me. And I will be the one who agrees or disagrees to them coming back. And so the white boy called me, yeah, can we come over again? I said, nah, y'all can't come over again. I'm not interested in having a continued discourse that is basically me speaking and you listening. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I don't need to relive experiences over and over again. I'm good with that. The white boy say, why? I said, because I said so. And then it starts getting to disrespect. Then he say, well, why? So he playing now. Then after I told him, I said, nah, you just can't come over. I said, you just can't come over. He said, oh, well, this is what he said. He said, well, maybe Yele would still like to join. I said, that's just like a devil. That's why I'm texting the man. I say, no, you can't come over. The white boy say, well, maybe your wife would like to join. I said, that's just like a devil. I told him, that's just like a devil, just like the snake in the Garden of Eden is trying to separate Adam from Eve. I said, just like the snake in the Garden of Eden trying to whisper to Eve and hoping that Eve gonna be alone so that you can whisper to her and keep her away from her man that's protecting her. I say, just like a devil. Just like a devil. He didn't have nothing to say after that. But he texted her after. And I said all of that to say, that white cracker know good and damn well if a white man told him, look, you little white boy, you can't come to my house, period. He would have been so respectful. He would have never had contacted that man's wife because it would have been looked at as a high supreme dishonor and a sign of disrespect for you to dishonor a man's word about his wife. But when it comes to the black man, oh, nah. I don't have to listen to what you say. And really, I want to press the issue to see if your woman really respects you or not. And I want to see the same thing. Do she really respect me or not? Or is she just a modern day liberal black woman who's, you know, masquerading as black sometimes just to make me happy? Or is she really about that life? Or is she really just a cracker? I want to know too. So any test that can come to see the authenticity of who we are, I'm welcoming all of it. But for you to even test it shows that you ain't nothing but a goddamn devil. And shows that your respect don't lend over to the black people like it lends to the white people, which means that, guess what? That goes back to the point that I made in the first fucking place where I said, we don't belong in your church, sir. Because you white people have not proven to us black people that you have the same human compassion to treat us with the respect that we treat you. You can't be our leaders. You can't show us the way to Jesus. We can show you the way to Jesus. But you can't show us the way to Jesus. You're a damn liar. The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid. Then I went to go see the Spider-Man movie with the little black boy who is another character walking in a white man's shoes. And it's supposed to be some type of honor. Oh, he's walking in a white man's shoes. There's no honor in that. In the Holy Quran, it says, Do not walk in the footsteps of your enemy. Much less put on his damn shoes and try to be him. Or put on his mask and try to be him. I'm going to be the black. It was white people that wrote Miles Morales. And they couldn't even write him fully black. That's where the insult always comes. And it was seen in both movies. It ain't no coincidence. The agenda is available to be seen by everybody that got eyes. And if you ignore it, then you're just a goddamn idiot. And whatever happens to you, you deserve it. You deserve it. How you gonna have two movies, both movies about two young black people trying to get that young black audience to brainwash them? And in both movies, you have the characters being parented by Mexicans. How the fuck does that make any sense? Miles Morales' mother is his parent. Ariel's father is her parent, who is Javier Bardem, not a Mexican, but a Spaniard, or some Portuguese or something. How does that make sense? But it's a so-called black movie. It ain't a goddamn black movie. It's coon movies. It's slave movies. Modern day slave movies. Be okay with the slavery, niggas. Be okay with the slavery. We want you to be okay with it. Ah, man. Disgusting. Disgusting. And what's worse is that y'all love it. That's the worst part. Y'all love it. Y'all can't get enough of it. That's the worst part. I'm trying to think what else has happened in the news. Stuff happening all the time. Cornel West talking about he want to run for president. I don't trust Cornel West. Cornel West has done good to be a present to many black affairs and many black conversations. He's done well to be a part of many black conversations that regard our political future and our well-being. But Cornel West is also a brother who speaks in all-encompassing tones. Cornel West is a brother who likes to talk. When he talks about black people, he likes to call white people his brothers and sisters too. And maybe that's just a part of the strategy to gain favor with whites by not trying to separate them. Or maybe it's just a part of the fact that Cornel West is allowed access to a lot of white spaces. Because he has a lot of white thought processes. I wouldn't vote for Cornel West until he came out and made a statement that addressed black people directly. You address the elephant in the room. Everybody want to be the elephant in the room. But what do we know about that phrase, the elephant in the room? The elephant in the room represents something that is massive and treated and ignored like it's invisible. There ain't no elephant in no room except for black people. There ain't no other elephant. The gay people are not ignored. They wanted to make it appear that they were an elephant. You ain't no damn elephant. You're a guinea pig, and I mean that in a scientific way. You're a damn guinea pig, gay people, because you were created by science. You were created by the science of suggestion. You were created by the science of influence, and you were created by the deconstruction of the family and preying on your natural longing to be a part of a family, but not knowing how to be a part of a traditional family. There is no traditional family because it was destroyed. So you are a fragmented, because if it was a bomb that dropped on the nuclear family, you are now a fragmented human being that is coming out of the dust, crawling out of the dirt from the nuclear fallout of having a bomb dropped on your family. And then now you're trying to recollect your pieces with other people who are just as broken as you, and you want to call that a holistic community that is dedicated to love, when you don't even know what the love is. So love to you becomes just about acceptance. And the first person to accept you is the United States government, because they were the person that made you. The United States government experimented with sexuality and understood the implications of reversing sexuality and reversing gender and using it as mind controlling, the mind controlling aspects of homosexuality. When you punk somebody, when you make somebody your punk, literally, when you punk them, they become a slave to you. So you are part of an experiment, a thought experiment, and an experiment to introduce a new minority to take focus away from the real problem, the real minority, or not the minority, because I don't speak in that language, but black people, we are the people with the real problem. But the United States government didn't want there to continue to be a civil rights movement. The United States government didn't want there to continue to always be, because the United States government not interested in changing white supremacy. It's called misdirection. It's the act of, or the scheme, or the lie of shifting a person's focus from one thing to another thing. Now, we cannot be devils. We have to be devils. Therefore, if we are always devils, then black people are always going to have a problem. So instead of us addressing the problem, which is the fact that we are devils, which is something that we can't help, we'll just create a new minority and then focus on them and tell the world to focus on them, and then hopefully we'll get black people into that, and then hopefully that'll take away all the attention from these so-called black issues. You ain't no damn elephant in no room, gay person. You helped out at every step of your way. You ain't been oppressed not a day in your life by the United States government. I was oppressed by my family. You are a child that lived in a home and had to do things that you didn't like to do, just like everybody else. Or you were a child in an abusive home and had to do things that you shouldn't have to do. And you felt like you had a lack of options because the abuse traumatized you to a point where it became hard for you to socialize effectively with other people. And you became strange and then started to self-label yourself as a weirdo. And then when you self-labeled, you could only feel comfortable around other people who self-labeled themselves as well. And then now you're in a trap where you can't get out of it, because now you're in a community of people who are dependent on the community. Like, we're all dependent on our communities. But dependent on the community, dependent, your community relies on being broken. you actually cannot be a well-thinking person and be a part of the LGBT community at the same time. You can't be logic-based and God-fearing and still and be a part of the LGBT community. It's a community for the broken and for the hurt. And then it's also a community for those who are not broken and hurt. It's also a community for the predators. And it's also a community, and for those who are not sexual predators, it's also a community for the haters of humanity. People who just hate humanity and hate all institutions of humanity, hate all aspects of humanity, and figure, why not be gay? I already hate men. I hate women too. Being gay don't mean that you love women. Because I act like a woman, that mean I love women. That's not true. Gay men are some of the worst disrespecters of women that there are on the planet. Being a lesbian don't mean that you love men. You see, when you are those things and you fall into that trap, you fall into a trap of hate where you don't love anybody. Lesbians don't love women. That's a lie. Oh, I love women, that's why I'm having sex with them. You're a liar. You have sex with women because you feel uncomfortable sexually around men. There's uncomfortability when it comes to men. And it happened during your childhood. So you regulate yourself to women. But not because you love women. You don't love women and you don't love men. You hate both. And they're just using an aspect of acting like a man to try to be there for a woman. But there's no love. There's no love. Man, I tell you, Cornel West. Nah, Cornel West, I have to see more from you, sir. I don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you. You always wearing that damn scarf. You coming across like a cartoon character. You always got to wear the same thing to show your trademark. My trademark is wearing a scarf around my neck so people know it's me. We know it's you. God damn it, wear different clothes. That'll help half my problem with you. Wear different clothes. Nothing too major, or you know, everything, you know, I don't see myself reviewing that many more movies because I'm actually going to just stop going to the movies. I actually have, you know, made it pretty clear to myself that I'm going to stop going to movies because the agenda is too clear and every movie is going to be like this. So Yeah. It's been a good day. I'm starting to host virtual art classes. I have one student that I'm working with now, but I'm looking for four more students. So if anybody's interested in signing up for my virtual art classes, I definitely would like to meet you and talk more about it. My email is a.kinte, which is kinte.ak@gmail.com. So it's a.kinte.ak@gmail.com, and you can message me there. You know, if you have any questions or want to talk or discuss anything. But I'm a jump off here for now. You know, it was something I had to get off my chest, and I feel a lot better now because of it. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next time. Peace.